Joshua 4. Joshua chapter 4. The title of the message, Death and Resurrection. Death and Resurrection. We read earlier about the prophet who would be like unto Moses. And we heard about the warning of the opposing false prophets. We've heard about, from the reading in 1 Corinthians, of our one true God in contrast to the meat that was sacrificed in opposition of Him and to idols. Later we will hear about the assembly of the upright. All of this comes together and is dependent upon death and resurrection. Indeed, your existence and your presence here today is dependent on death and resurrection. There is liberty in Christ. You have liberty from sin, and you have liberty from death. You have liberty to go boldly before the throne of grace. But liberty is not unfettered. You do not have liberty to run roughshod over the covenant community. Paul said, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. But do not take liberty as an opportunity for you. We have four points this morning. Obedience to God's instruction, God's tremendous power, God magnified Joshua, the exclusivity of the gospel, and parents' responsibility. I'll begin reading with the first seven verses of chapter 4. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean and passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence, out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared for the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for you a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. As we go to the Lord in prayer, think upon that question that Joshua set upon the children of Israel. of which future generations would ask, what do these stones mean? Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, you are holy and you are righteous. You are transcendent and you are infinite. In your holiness, you are transcendent, you are removed from us. For you are the creator and we are the creature. But in your tenderness, in your loving kindness, you are imminent to us. Showed your imminence in that ark that went before the people. That ark that had remained during those wilderness wandering years in the center of the people. And you showed your imminence. And you wrapped yourself in flesh. Dwell among us. Coming unto your own, and though your own received you not, as many as received you, then gave you the right. You gave the right, the Son of God. Lord, we thank you for this passage that you have preserved for us this day. We thank you that even in a book of history, we thank you that even among the former prophets, that the death and resurrection of the Lamb of God is set before us. Thank you. And we went through the book of Romans. We read chapters 9, chapter 10, chapter 11, in which God singled out Israel. And we saw that image of the olive tree. And how there are some natural branches that are cut out and removed. And there are some wild olive branches that are grafted in. Though you and me are not biologically Israel, though we don't have Israel's blood coursing through our veins, you and me are much more Israel than the people living in the land of Israel right now. They are biological descendants of Abraham. You and me are spiritual descendants of Abraham. Why? Because we have the faith of Abraham. The text presents you with what they did and shows what happened. And what happened is God's tremendous power on display. Let's look at verses 8 and 13. And the children of Israel did as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest which bare the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. For the priest which bare the Ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished, that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people clean passed over, that the Ark of our Lord passed over, and the priests, and the presence of the people, and the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, passed over armor before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 of Herod's war passed over before the Lord unto the battle to the plains of Jericho. Verses 8 and 9, I present you and me with stones. Stones which had been in that riverbed since at least the flood, and perhaps since the creation. And these stones were commanded, the men that were chosen out were commanded to pick up these stones from that riverbed, to move these stones and set them where they remained when Joshua wrote this prayer. Stones have been there for hundreds, even thousands of years. Water rushing over those stones. And the men are called to pick up these stones and carry them on their shoulders, and to set them as a reward. 12 stones were placed in the midst of Jordan, and 12 stones were placed on the west bank of the Jordan. The 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan were put into the water of death, pointing to the death of Christ. 12 stones that were placed on the west bank of the Jordan pointed to the resurrection of the dead. In this chapter, we have a very vivid picture of that which Christ did for you and for me. A memorial is placed in the midst of the Jordan, pointing to Christ's death, a point of memorial is placed on the west bank of the Jordan, pointing to Christ's resurrection. And you recall from last week that the waters had been rolled back all the way to the city of Adam. And I shared that city of Adam. We don't know where exactly it was. Nobody's been able to find archaeological remains of it. But if you think about the name of the city, it's not incidental that the city's name is Adam, and the man from whom all of us came is Adam. And Adam is the one who passes out the sin nature to you and me. Christ's work in his death not only reaches forward to you, Chris, but Christ's work in his death reached all the way back. Paul made it clear. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Paul, writing to the Roman Christians, asked, "What shall we say to them? Shall we remain in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Paul made it clear that you and me are identified with Christ in his death. The primary meaning of baptizo, from which we get the word baptized, has no connection with water, but rather speaks of identification. When you come to him in confession, repentance, and surrender, then you are identified with Christ as his death. His death was your death. What did Jesus do to deserve to be executed? Nothing. Rather, your sin. Nadia, your sin, Danielle, your sin, Eric, your sin, Myrtle, was poured out on him. Just as the sins of the people of Israel for thousands of years was poured upon the Lamb. His death was your death. When he arose from the dead, then you arose from the dead. You only enjoy spiritual blessing when you are joined to him. If you don't identify with him, you cannot enjoy spiritual blessing with him. Are you joined to the living Christ today? That's a question that only you can answer. Are you joined to the living Christ today? It is tragic when a believer wanders from his identity, even briefly. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Paul speaking, or writing. But God, verse 4, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You who are saved have experienced the mercy of God. You had the sentence of death and destruction on your forehead. You were damned to hell. But God showed mercy to you. So it is tragic. It is tragic for a believer, for one who has come to Jesus in confession and repentance and surrender, to wander from that event. But we know what happens. Because as long as we're in this flesh and body, we will struggle against sin nature. But thanks be to God, you are not today the same that you were. You are not the same person today that you were a year ago or 5 years ago. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things are becoming new. Verses 10 to 13, we see that the priests remained in the midst of the Jordan until all the people were assembled safe on the other side. Isn't that a glorious thought? An entire nation passes by the priest as they bear the ark on their shoulders. And the priests remain steadfast in the midst of the Jordan, demonstrating their faith that God will hold back those waters until the very last of his people, make it safe to the other side. All of the instructions of the Lord were fulfilled. Not one of the children of Israel were left back. Not one of the children of Israel were left back. It says that the tribes of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribes of Manasseh had taken their place ahead of the children of Israel. Why do you suppose it's significant that the children of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh take their place ahead of the children of Israel? First of all, Moses instructed them. Moses speaking on God's behalf instructed that they take their place. Second of all, they've already gotten their inheritance. They've already gotten what they requested of Moses. They've already got their allotment of land. And now that they've gotten it, they're going ahead of the rest of their brothers. Say, hey, we're in this with you. We're experiencing being made right in this world today already, and we want you to experience that as well. But also think about this, there's a very practical side to this. If Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh are ahead of the children of Israel, as Israel goes to battle against Jericho and against Ai and against the other cities, if fear rises up in their souls, it's harder for them to turn back. If those 2.5 tribes had been at the rear of the camp, and fear had overcome the people, it would be easier for them to turn back. But they can't turn back because now they've got the enemy to their back and they've got their brothers ahead of them. And they don't know what. They're both bloodless brothers. In all this, God magnifies Joshua. Verse 14, back to Joshua 4. On that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel. And they feared him, as they feared Moses all the days of his life. Picture this. The ark goes before the people and divides the Jordan, not the rod of Moses. The event that has just taken place, the event that we're seeing in which the children of Israel are passing on dry land through the Jordan's riverbed at a time when the Jordan is at flood stage, in a lot of ways is reminiscent of what happened in an earlier generation at the Red Sea. But there's some major differences. 40 years ago, Moses struck the sea with his rod, and the sea rolled back. Here, the priest, carrying the ark, carrying the very presence of God, stepped in to the Red Sea. God Himself is leading the way. God's very presence among His people is leading the way. The ark goes before the people, carried by priests, and Christ goes before you through death and goes with you through life. Jesus died so that you can die. Jesus lives so that you can live. If Jesus had never died, then you and me would stand in hopeless. And of all men to be pitied. Because the sentence of destruction would still be on your forehead and mine. But thanks be to God, Jesus went down to death so that you can die peacefully. So that you can die gracefully, and He was raised from the dead so that you can live victoriously and gloriously. Jordan is a type of Christ's death. Verses 15 through 18, we see the exclusivity of salvation. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the Jordan, in the midst of Jordan, for the sole soul of the priest's feet was lifted up on the dry land, that the waters of Jordan be returned unto their place, and flowed over all his face, as they did before. The priests, as long as they remained in the midst of Jordan, the water remained rolled back. But once the priest's feet touched the other side, the water returned. Think about the picture here. If there had been any Israelite who doubted, if there had been any Israelite who thought, there's no way that God can keep these waters piled up, I'll wait and see. Once the priest's feet touch the other side, it's game over. God's people, those called out by His name, are on the other side. The doubters, the scorners, the revilers remain on the other side. If there had been any other peoples other than Israelites on the other side who might take the opportunity to run through, once the priest's feet touch the other bank, Because the exclusivity of salvation is reserved for the people of God. All whom God has chosen for His own will be saved. Verse 19. And we'll read it in chapter 5, verse 1. And the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones whose days they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask his fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you, until you will pass over as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted. Neither was their spirit in them anymore, because of the children of Israel. Not only do we see obedience to God's instruction, not only do we see God's power, not only do we see God magnifying Joshua, not only do we see the exclusivity of salvation, but we see the parents' responsibility. The greatest tragedy in contemporary church culture is that there are far too many families that the last time, the first and last time, they're together on Sunday morning is when they get out of the car. And they don't see one another again until they get to their car. Because there's a children's building and a teen building and there's this building and there's all this segregation within the body of Christ, within the covenant community. And that is a tragedy. How are the little children to learn Miss Myrtle's wisdom if they're rushed off to build it over here? How are the old ones to experience the joy and the curiosity of the children if they're in a traditional service? Scripture commands that you teach your children the gospel. The results are not up to you. But anytime you share the gospel, the results are not up to you. Your responsibility is only to teach the gospel. As John Piper says, the gospel can be summarized in one word: God. God is the gospel. For it is God who revealed himself to you and me. You and me aren't like the world religions which they're scratching and clawing and trying to attain approval of their God. Our God, the one true God, condescended the incarnation. He pitched his tent among us. He tabernacled among us.
He wrapped himself in flesh. He experienced life as you experienced life. Think about what the writer of the Hebrews said. Jesus was tempted in every point as you are tempted, yet he was without sin. What sin do you struggle with? Scripture says that Jesus was tempted by that sin. Jesus is the only one who can say to you, I've been there and I haven't done that. Because he hasn't done that, your sin was poured upon him. And he took your place at Calvary. What God did for Israel, he did for their benefit. What God did for Israel, he did for your benefit. What God did for Israel, he did for your children's benefit. The hand of the Lord is mighty. The Amorites and the Canaanites were shocked that God enabled Israel to cross the Jordan. I shared last week. The people on the other side. We've got the Jordan's in flood. There's no way that they can cross right now. But God was on Israel's side. And all of you who have the faith of Abraham are children of Abraham. All of you who have the faith of Abraham are true Israel. And God is on your side. Is Christ's death and resurrection real? Do you, I'm not asking, do you know it to be a real historical event? Is Christ's death and resurrection real to you in your heart and in your life, in your emotions? Is it real? Are you joined to the living Christ today? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we bow before you. We thank you for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercy. Lord, we thank you that you withheld your wrath from us and that you granted us pardon and redemption and sonship. Lord, if there be any among us this morning who's never confessed his sin, who's never repented of this sin, who's never surrendered to you as Lord, you're already Lord. We don't make you Lord. We only acknowledge the fact that you are Lord. If there's any who be among us who's never acknowledged you as Lord, may this be the day of his salvation. In Jesus' name we pray.